Thanks for tuning in again to the Grin and Bear Show, where we grin and you bear it, here on 88.9 KETR. This episode of the Grin and Bear Show presents to you the Grin and Bear Mystery Hour in Episode 3 of Ace's Game. Tonight, we follow our hero's footsteps as Ace finds himself stumped with current events in the case of the Devil's Music. Has Ace finally met his match? Stay tuned for Ace's Game.
But I don't understand.
You don't understand. You don't understand.
Please. No, please.
Then you don't deserve it.
Well, there you have it, folks. This concludes the interview with one of the most desirable up-and-coming jazz singers today, Miss Rosie Dupree.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, come on, Miss Dupree, you know it's true. And who's your escort this evening?
This? Well, this is Kingsley. He's a friend of mine.
Good evening.
Uh-oh, a boyfriend? There are going to be a lot of broken hearts out there in Radioland.
Well, Rosie is a heartbreaker, you know that.
Hey, Ace! I was listening to that. That's my queen out there, getting some much-needed exposure. Just think, this palace exploding with people all here to see Rosie singing her heart out. You know what that means? Money!
The interview was over anyway, Jack. That was just small talk. I don't think much of small talk.
Yeah, and who wants to hear that dumb bimbo talk anyway? She's just so airheaded flirting with Kingsley like that. She can't get away all the time. I swear, one of these days...
Well, that's my jewel talking right there. I set up that interview. I set Kingsley so nothing would happen to her.
Oh, this just in. Yeah, it appears the streets of Chicago have claimed another life. An unidentified woman in her mid to late 20s. Wait, what's that? Oh, we now have confirmation on her identity. It's 29-year-old Lena Muck has been murdered in cold blood behind the jazz club north of Annie Street. It appears Miss Muck was stabbed 6 times in the abdomen. That is all we know of the horrific details. Please stay tuned for further analysis.
The name's Ace, Private Eye. It's 9 p.m. in the city that never sleeps. In the past month, I've been stumped with several murders. I can't help but think they all might be connected in some way. This is the third one, and no one different than the others. Rosie keeps popping into mind. As I see her walk in Jack's palace, her arm linked with Kingsley's, her flirtatious gestures sure know how to drive a man wild.
Well, if it isn't Miss Queenie and her little puppy dog.
Rosie and Kingsley have been spending an awful lot of time. Rosie says it's only business. Jack says it's to protect his precious jewel, but I've got a gut feeling it means more to Kingsley.
Ace Kicker, long time no see. Where have you been? You've missed my new songs. Kingsley here helped me write a few of them.
What can I say? You know, I dabble in music.
So, did you hear the interview? I was so nervous. Did it sound okay?
You sounded amazing! That free advertising, it should do wonders for the palace.
Rosie, you were great. But what bothered me was the report on after your interview.
Oh? What was it? I left as soon as we were done.
Oh, just another tramp was off and they found a body.
What?
There was another murder in the area. Another female murder.
Oh, no. Have they identified the body?
I've heard the name. She's some kind of washed-up jazz singer. I guess you'll be there soon.
Yeah, they said Lena Muck.
The look on Rosie's face went from sympathetic to pure terror in a matter of seconds. Does she know something about this?
Well, that's none of our concern, Rosie. Let's go get ready for the show tonight.
Okay.
I felt sick to my stomach as Kingsley wrapped his arm around Rosie's waist while she sauntered off to her flat above the palace. She turned her head slowly one last time in my direction as her platinum locks flawlessly cascade down the right side of her face. Only her left eye was shadowed by the light, but as she withdrew, the sunlight bounced off her porcelain skin as a gleam trickled down the side of her cheek. Tears. What's wrong? Rosie knew something. This only angered me more. I would make them pay. Whoever dared to taint Rosie's demeanor, I will make them pay.
Folks, you have just listened to Amanda Gish singing Rufus Rastus Johnson Brown. And now back to the Green and Barrett Mystery Hour.
As I left my office to pick up some lunch, I couldn't help but notice a crowd of people gathered in front of the courthouse downtown.
Extra, extra, read all about it. World-renowned violinist in town.
World-renowned, eh? What's his name?
Please, mister, if I told you, then I wouldn't sell any papers.
Already teaching them young. Here you go, kid.
Thanks, mister. Extra, extra.
World-renowned British violinist, Henry Price, tours Chicago. Originally, Price was not set to perform
in the heart of Chicago, but something inside was pulling me to this place. Something deep inside, yearning to feel. Something that would make me feel alive.
Trixie had walked up right behind me. Apparently Jack had made her run some errands for the palace. Excuse me?
Henry, well, I've heard some about him. Now, that's a real musician right there.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, you know, the stuff at Jack's is nice every once in a while, but this, it really speaks, you know?
I never really pinned Trixie as a classical music kind of gal. I guess everyone is full of surprises.
So, how you doing?
Same as ever.
Ace, you know what I'm talking about.
What?
Oh, come on.
I acted as though I had no idea what Trixie was talking about. But I knew. How could I not? She was talking about Rosie.
Rosie and Kingsley?
What about them?
Everyone knows about your soft spot for the Queen. I mean, every guy does, but especially you.
Trixie, that time for me has passed. I'm not one for love.
Everyone deserves love, Ace.
As Trixie looked at me through those glassy eyes, I could actually tell she was being sincere. Trixie's usually not one to open up. I knew she wanted me to say something, but for once, I had nothing to offer.
Oh, well, I better get back or Jack will have it in for me. Plus, there's this creep that keeps hassling all of us at the palace. Jack threw him out, but he keeps coming back. I don't want to run into him on the way to the palace. Well, toodles, Ace.
That was Mike Harmon with Thin Ice. And now back to more of the Grin and Bear It Mystery Hour.
Thursday nights, the palace takes a break from the usual to get ready for the weekend. As I headed down there to give Jack a hand, I saw that creep Trixie was talking about. For some reason, he seemed obsessed with the palace, almost maniacal.
And you stay out, you creep. We're closed.
Oh, yeah? Well, you'll be sorry. Just like that other dame. You'll be sorry.
Who was this joker? It's hard to take someone seriously that's so inebriated. But he was just talking about Lena Muck. Did he know something?
My Bonnie lies over the ocean. My Bonnie lies over the sea. My
well, that was interesting.
Oh, Ace, I didn't see you there. Yeah, that creep's been coming around here this past week. His name is Harold Clove. I don't know much about him. He keeps talking about that woman. That woman who was murdered. I think he likes to get a rise out of Rosie and Trixie. They're scared to death.
What did he mean about you'll be sorry?
I don't know. He was so washed when he got here, we couldn't take him seriously. Come on in.
I had half expected to see Rosie on stage with a band, so I was surprised to see Henry Price in here playing his violin. Trixie was just mesmerized. I could see her grasping every note, every trio Henry played. It was like she understood everything, as if the violin were speaking right to her. Maybe I've misjudged Trixie. Perhaps there is more to her than I thought.
That was wonderful. Absolutely.
Refreshing. You know, after the smut that's played here.
Hey!
Well, thank you. I only strive for the best when I play. Classical music is like an expression of what feelings sound like, as if the heavens themselves opened up and the harmony of life began to flow down into the heart of the human soul.
Bravo! Bravo! I couldn't have said it better myself.
Whoa, this guy was full of it. What brings you to the palace, Mr. Price?
Please, formality is not necessary here. Henry will be just fine.
Hey, Rosie, why don't you get up there and show Henry what you got?
Oh, Ace, Henry here heard about the palace and came here to introduce himself. He said he is very interested in my music.
What about that new one we've been working on?
Right. Oh, Jack, you'll love this.
Protected. The TV's show the way I feel. The fear in me is all too real.
You into jazz music?
I've become somewhat interested in this particular genre since I started touring in the States. I heard that Chicago was the best place to really experience the culture.
Well, you've certainly come to the right place, and Jack's Palace is definitely where you want to be on Friday and Saturday night. Anyone who's anyone is in attendance. Businessmen, lawyers, doctors, and all here to see Rosie do what she does best, sing.
Oh, Kingsley, you're too kind.
Of course, their wives don't really make an appearance, you know.
Yeah, Rosie here is the best of the best when it comes to jazz. She sure knows how to work a crowd.
And what about you, Ms. Decker? You seem to have a refined taste for music.
Oh, me? Well, Jack doesn't really let me sing.
Oh? Why is that?
Well, I think that...
Because she's not very good. Can we get on with things?
On with things?
Yeah. Henry here is talking about investing in the palace.
Investing in the palace? That didn't make much sense to me. Even though the palace is doing a pretty good job for local standards, why would world-renowned Henry Price, of all people, want to invest in a bar? A jazz bar. It just doesn't seem like his manner. And to convolute the situation more, he doesn't seem to have too much interest in Rosie, even though he claimed to have heard of her. But instead, his interest seems to gravitate towards Trixie, like a magnetic field attracting its polar opposite.
We hope you're enjoying the Grin and Barrett Show right here on 88.9 KETR.
World-renowned violinist Henry Price has come to town and is very interested in Jack's Palace. Stay tuned for more on the Grin and Barrett Mystery Hour.
The next day, I decided to take my mind off the prior events by looking over the three murder cases that have been pending in my mind for quite some time. I can't seem to keep this undying cerebration that these homicides are connected in some way. As I stare at the three profiles, time passes on like fire burning in a dry field. Cross-eyed from staring, I decide to amble over to the window in my office. How did I not hear the band start up? People are starting to arrive at the palace. I must have been more engrossed in the three women more than I thought. Wait, that's it, three women. As I make my way back over to my desk, I notice that each woman was stabbed the same way. And what was this? This peculiar mark on each of their wrists. It was S-shaped. Well, that's it. I can't ignore it any longer. I've got to talk to Rosie.
Hey, Ace, to what do we owe this privilege?
I've got a question for Rosie, and I mean business.
What?
Don't play dumb with me. I know you know something about these murders. Now tell me. Rosie looked terrified. I could feel the eyes of everyone in the palace penetrate my skin inquisitively. But I didn't care. I needed answers, and the only one who could give them to me was the person stagnant right in front of my eyes.
Perhaps if I could be of assistance.
No one's talking to you, Mr. Violin Man.
Ace, what's going into you?
I'm sick and tired of these mind games this queen has been playing ever since she arrived. I've never referred to Rosie as the queen. That was reserved for gawking men old enough to be her father. Those mendacious buffoons telling their wives they stayed late for work. But not me. I didn't care, though. If she was going to keep this facade up, then I would treat her like any other person I interrogated. This was it. I had it with these delusions and half-truths.
Rosie, legally, you don't have to say nothing. We don't need this two-bit gumsole prying into our private lives.
No, wait. I'll tell you. You're asking about Lena. Yes, I knew her. She was the first person I met when I moved here. She showed me the ropes to the city, helped me get started around town. But when I told her I wanted to sing, she got jealous, so she kicked me out, saying she didn't want any more competition. I couldn't blame her, though. She was barely making ends meet. Well, that's when I found the palace, and Jack here gave me a chance.
Bonnie lies over the ocean. Hey! Is it showtime? Showtime yet?
For goodness sake, Harold, we're not even open. Get out of here!
Then why is the door open? Come on. I need a drink.
It's not even noon. Come back at 5 when we open.
Some people are so touchy. My Bonnie lies over.
Poor Harold. He used to be so well respected.
What do you mean?
Yeah, one of the best homicide detectives around. Well, 20 years ago, give or take a few years.
Well, now that you're done upsetting my talent, may we get on with practice?
Yeah, Harold. Maybe I should do a follow-up on this fellow. I decided to visit the little club north of Ante where Lena used to work. It wasn't much, just a few shady characters sitting around having a few drinks. Whoa, no wonder Lena was washed up. This place was nothing compared to the palace. As I scraped the mangled wooden chair across a concrete floor, the eerie dissonance echoed throughout. This is definitely not a place I'd want to be after dark. I examined the spot a little more before asking about Harold, and sure enough, he was there the night Lena Muck was murdered.
You have plenty money, 1922. You let other women be full of you. Why don't you do right like some other men? Took you in. Now are you got to offer me the drink of gin. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and give me some money too.
And you just heard Amanda Gish singing Why Don't You Do Right? And now, the conclusion of Ace's Game, The Case of the Devil's Music.
I still had no proof the serial murderer was Harold, but as he sat shadowed by the moonlight in the palace, hassling Trixie and the other waitresses, I waited. I waited for some kind of sign or something to give him away.
Well, that Rosie sure is something, ain't she?
Oh, whatever. Listen, everyone, we've got a real treat for you. Nothing like the smut the queen here calls music. This is a real musician. I am proud to announce world-renowned violinist Henry Price.
At this time in the evening, Rosie usually perambulates upstairs through the double doors to make a costume change. As I caught the tail end of her dress dragging behind her as she sensually vanished onto the staircase, it only took a second for me to realize Harold was gone. This is not good. What did he have against jazz singers? I looked about the palace. It sure has gotten busy over the last few months. I guess that's what Rosie was doing.
Isn't he wonderful?
Yeah, just wonderful.
What's the matter?
I think Rosie might be in trouble.
Isn't she usually the one causing trouble?
I'm serious, Trix. I think Harold is the serial murderer.
Serial murderer? You mean, you think those homicides are connected?
I know they are.
Jack! There's gonna be a murder! The murderer is here!
This was the last thing I needed. As soon as Trixie uttered the word murderer, every person in the palace began to panic. People were running around like madmen. I had to get above the stampede in order to make out who was who and see if Harold was anywhere in sight. I stood on the stage. Glasses and drinks were flying everywhere. The sound of panicked businessmen filled the echoes bouncing from one end of the palace to the other. Screaming waitresses running from the bar in hopes they were not the target of murderous affairs. I almost knocked over Henry's music stand before my reflexes caught it. I glanced down, noticed the treble clef before I snapped the book shut. I jutted through the crowd and pushed my way through the open front door. My instincts lead me behind the building, and there was Harold on the fire escape leading up to Rosie's flat.
Hey, what's going on here?
You idiot! I thought you were supposed to be protecting Rosie.
What are you talking about?
As instinctively as I could, I jumped up onto the fire escape and grabbed Harold from behind.
God, man, what are you doing, you moron?
I'm not gonna let you kill again. I know all about it. You used to be a homicide detective. You were there the night Lena Muck was murdered. You understand the criminal mind. Who would ever suspect a respectable police officer?
Jeez, man, are you that dense? I've been following these cases for months now. I'm trying to protect Rosie. I was trying to protect Lena the night the murderer got the better of me.
And then it hit me, as if a million bricks came tumbling down on my hapless, pathetic body, crushing my bones into a fine powder. It made perfect sense. The time period, the victims, the stabbings, the M.O., the treble clef. That S-shaped carve in the victims. Why didn't I see this before?
Okay, now don't you get it? It's Henry. I wasn't sure at first until Lena. I'd been doing some research on Henry. Our beloved violinist is nuts. He hates jazz. He thinks it's the devil's music. He wants to rid the world of it, but he can only kill in fours. Some weird fascination with 4/4 timed music.
I can't believe it had been staring me right in the face the whole time.
He's fooled us all. But right now our priority is Rosie, and she's not in her flat.
The alley. That's where he had to be. Every murder he had done had been in an alley. Whoa, this guy really did his homework. Harold and I raced down the stairs. The rain was making it hard not to slip. But we managed to make it to the ground. I rounded the corner. Harold was right behind me, soon followed by Kingsley.
Where's Rosie? Is she okay?
Man, we need to hurry.
We reached the alley at just the right time. Henry, the gig's up. Just come with me and we'll sort it out.
Ace!
The jig, as you Americans call it, is never up for Henry Price.
What a maniac!
All right, you. Let Rosie go.
I was shocked. I had never seen this before in my life. Jack came running towards us, yielding a shotgun, followed by Trixie. He had a choice. Either die or let Rosie go. It was hard to tell with the rain falling, but it seemed just for a second. He smiled as the moonlight hit his face.
Fine. You've won.
He let Rosie go. I watched as she ran across the gravel into Kingsley's arms.
But only for now, you sniveling deadbeat detectives.
Harold and I ran across the alley and looked both ways. He was nowhere in sight. Gone. Vanished. It's 11 p.m. in the city that never sleeps, and I was just outwitted for the very first time.
That concludes our show tonight. Thank you for tuning in to 88.9 KETR. Join us next time for another riveting tale of Ace's Game.
This episode's cast include Brad Bergen as Ace Private Eye, Amanda Gish as Rosie, Eve Gish as Trixie, R. Kevin Morris as Henry Price, Mike Harmon as Kingsley Spade, Gary Herbst as Jack, Jeff Garrison as the reporter and the announcer, and David Gish as Harold. Please join us next time for another exciting episode of The Grinnin' Barrett Show.
The Grinnin' Barrett Show and everything you hear on KETR are made possible through your contributions. If you'd like us to continue to bring you original programming like The Grinnin' Barrett Show here on Notably Texan, we've got to have your support. We're listener-supported, commercial-free radio for Northeast Texas, so please visit our website, ketr.org. Click on Support This Station in the upper right-hand corner and give whatever you can. It really does make a difference. Thanks to everyone involved in making this episode of the Grinnin' Barrett Show possible. I'm your producer, Matt Minky. Thanks for listening.